You will. Well, I wasn't going to... It's on. I meant to turn it on and then not turn it on.
Okay, that's better. Okay, so thank you, everybody. We went and saw Tucker and Ellie last night. We got to stop by and see them for a second time. The baby is perfect, and so they're doing really good. I did notice, I was looking at the sign-up, and it filled up very quickly. So I asked yesterday if there were people that still wanted to maybe bring them a meal that didn't get to sign up, and Ellie just kind of chuckled and said, we would never turn down free food. So, Tucker is off, so he's already got 6 weeks off, so that's really cool. He's actually getting to spend quite a bit of time with Hazel, and so that's going really well. But if there's anybody that wants to still jump in on that, get with Paige. We probably won't put a sign up out there. I don't know, maybe we will. But if you or somebody didn't get to sign up, and you would like to take them a meal and get to go in and see the baby, they've been very gracious about bringing people in and introducing you to the baby. And, then talk to Paige and she would get you a date for that. I think it would be the best way to give you some date to choose from. So anyway, we'll add it on to them. Yeah, we'll add on to them. So they could get a little bit, I think. But anyway, the baby's great. They're doing great. So keep praying for them. And then don't tell anybody, but there might be another baby coming pretty soon too. And so we'll obviously be absolutely not. Why would you? Taylor is. How many
kids left there? I mean, that makes so much more sense. Why would you leave it?
Yeah. So Taylor's less than a month away. We will definitely be doing the same thing, hooking them up with some meals and some different things. So we'll do the same thing that we always do. So just be looking forward to that. So okay, I think that's about everything. The breakfast signups are still out there. Feel free to sign up for that. And we'll go from there. So, okay. Church in the Park's coming up, too. If you didn't know, if you've never been around HBF, we do church at the Harrisonville Park the first Sunday in June every year. And so we've done that for a lot of years. And it has never rained on us. Knock on wood. Never on the first Sunday in June has it rained on us. And so, praise the Lord. Just be praying for that.
Okay.
Huh? It's been closed, but we've never got rain on. So, yeah. Okay, is there anything else? We have a past point event coming up. The 23rd, talk still about that. We're in a youth meeting right now. But
it's not here. It's
just
event.
Yeah, we're going to come. We're going to grill some food. And
I have a question for that.
Yeah.
Are people invited?
Yeah, absolutely. Any of these events, you can bring anybody you want.
Yeah.
You're dang right it is. Yeah. Anybody is welcome. It'd be great. So okay.
If you're not on Facebook and you need the link for food sign up, just text me and I'll go get the link and text it to you. That way you can set that up.
If you want to be involved in all that, talk to us. Okay. Alright, so I think that's most of the announcements. It's kind of taking a while, but okay. Let's pray and get going. And we will. So, Father, I love you. Thank you for this. Lord, thank you for your word. It's exactly what we need, and it's always right on time. Thank you for what you're doing in the practical class. Allowing us to minister to one another and loving each other like family. Lord, we just thank you for everything going great with Tucker and Ellie and Baby Peace and Hazel. And so I just pray that you just continue to bless their family, give them rest, Lord, and allow us to continue to come alongside them. And also, we just pray for Cody and Taylor as they're getting close. And so I pray that you would just give their comfort and just allow Cody to have the right things to say. Lord, just continue to bless them and allow things to go well with that as well. Thank you for all the ministry opportunities we have. I pray you speak to us today, from the Word. And I pray for the youth meeting that's going on right now and a lot of things in moving parts with the youth group. And so I do pray for that and those who are in there. So speak to us today as your Lord prayer. Amen. Okay, so happy Mother's Day to everybody who's a mom. I throw that out there. If you're not a mom, either, so anyway, happy Mother's Day. So I was gonna try to do something Mother's Day-esque, and
then I decided, no problem. So happy Mother's Day. Thank you for everything that you do. The world would not be what it is without Mom. So I'll say that. My house would not be what it is without Paige being Mom. And so anyway, just throwing it out there. We appreciate you. But just like is normal with Mom, that's all you get. Thanks. And so, on to life.
Once again.
On to life. I kind of said that tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, that really is the truth a lot of times. Mom carries all the weight, and she really doesn't get much of the glory, and so we do appreciate you, and so, all of that. So, anyway.
That was so
rude. What?
Throwing
out that
joke.
What did I say?
Mom carried all the weight.
Oh. I didn't even know I said it. Obviously, it's not one minute. So, okay. Yeah. I'm all the way. Okay, if you got your Bible, open up to Acts chapter 14, I think is where we're at. Thank you. I'll get there. Acts chapter 14. So I don't have time to review the book of Acts. It's a transitional book. We're transitioning from Old Testament to New Testament, from Peter to Paul, you know, from Jews to Gentiles. We have seen over the past several weeks, you know, Paul's kind of ministry pattern as they went out on this first missionary trip. They were sent. They didn't just go on their own. They were sent out to go and, you know, evangelize and plant churches, and that's what they were doing. And we kind of looked at Paul's pattern for doing that, and I told you I didn't really want to have to review this every time because we're going to see the same thing over and over and over again. You know, it's the same thing. What does he do? You know, Paul goes, he goes to the synagogue first, to the Jews first, he kind of gives them a history lesson on, you know, hey, I understand where you're coming from, he brings them to a point of decision, you know, basically, are you trusting in faith, or trusting in works? And then what happens? Well, some of them believe and some of them don't. It's just kind of like when you share the gospel. Sometimes people will believe and sometimes they won't. It's no sweat off your back. You're just being obedient. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Then what happens? Well, then he takes the gospel to the Gentiles because he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He always lets the Jews have first go at it because he is a Jew, right? He's going to the synagogue, but as soon as they reject it, then that opens the door to the Gentiles in that town or that city. And that's kind of the culture of the time. And then, you know, what would happen? Well, the Gentiles, they've never had this opportunity. Now there's this excitement about Jesus, right? And people are following. And then, well, the Jews get offended because, well, wait a minute, that was our Jesus. We just didn't want to follow him like that. And, you know, it's kind of like what the book of Romans talks about where, you know, Jesus comes and he's trying to provoke the Jews to jealousy. He's, you know, trying to be like, hey, you had me the whole time and you didn't accept me, and so I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And so then there's persecution of some sort, and then what happens? Well, he goes to the next city and does it all over, right? And that's kind of the pattern, over and over and over again. And if you jump into verses 1 to 6, I just kind of want to read through this. I really don't have time to teach through this because this is exactly what we just talked about, but I don't want you to think I'm skipping over it. So here's what he did. In verse 51 of chapter 13, so he shook off the dust of their feet against them, because they were persecuted. And he came to Iconium. He goes to the next town. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And he gets to chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake. Meaning in the things that he said before. They shared the gospel. Right? Can you believe it? He went to the synagogue. He shared the gospel. Okay? That a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, they got mad, they, you know, they're trying, some believed, some didn't, you know, he's trying to stir, they get offended, they're trying to stir people up, and it says, they stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, some believed, some didn't, same thing, you know. And part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when they were, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully to stone them, right? So now there's persecution, they want to stone these people, and then here's what it says in verse 6. Then they were aware of it, meaning aware, and they were like, alright, peace out, we're going to the next town. So the next town, here we go, they go to Lystra and Derbe and cities of Lyconia or Lysa. How did someone say that one? I've never heard him pronounce that word. I would call it Lyconia. He called it like Lycaonia or something. Anyway, unto this the region that lies round about. And then what they do? Can you believe it? And there they preach it up. Four different times in this chapter alone, it says they went and they preached the gospel. Right? just step forward real quick, because you believe. In verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, oh, that's what they did. Verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, it's the same thing over and over again. It's almost like he's trying to show us a pattern of, this is what you do. You go, you share the word. Those who want to believe it, that's great. You invest in them. Those who don't, you don't really worry about it. You just make it available and you move on, because that's what we're trying to do, is get the gospel out all the time. So anyway, that's just, the first six verses are exactly what we just talked about. It's this pattern, over and over. So I didn't want you to think I was skipping over. Today I want to focus on verses 8 to 18. This story, as you read this, it reminds me of a lot of the culture that we live in today. And when I say the culture, I mean American culture. Right? And I'll explain what I mean. Have you noticed that in our culture, or in America, I say culture, we're less interested in an event itself, but we're much more interested in what everybody thinks about that event. Everybody's reaction, right? It's not so much about what happened, it's about, well, what did you think about what happened? And what did you think? And what was your take on this? And, you know, a sporting event. You know, we can all watch the game, but then what do most people do? They run to social media because they want to know, well, what did that guy think about the game? Or what did that guy think about how that person played? Or this, that. It's not so much about what happened right in front of our eyes. It's about, well, what does everybody think about it? I mean, it's easy to think about it when we think about it like that, but a pop culture event. Does anybody really care, you know, that some celebrities get married, right? Or does anybody really care that, you know, Travis Kelce's going to marry Taylor Swift? I really don't. But you know what everybody's going to do? They're going to want to get online and find out, well, what does everybody else think about this thing that's happening? It's just the culture we live in. Okay, well, those are kind of tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Yeah, everybody's got something to say about this thing. You know, we have a social media platform. They're all kind of this way, but, you know, Twitter or whatever they call it now, it was basically created for just this. For you to tell me what you think about something that you saw. Right? Just very quickly, you tell me what you think about what you just saw. But then you think about it in the way that I was thinking when I was reading through this passage. And I'll get to the passage here in a minute. But, you know, we've got all these different social injustice causes. And, you know, something happens, somebody dies, whatever reason. And we forget about the event itself. And it's all about, well, what are we going to do about it? Right? What do I think about it? Right? How are we going to, you know, protest this or do this? Or it's all about what we think about the event instead of the event itself. You know, it's kind of like when Charlie Kirk got assassinated. I personally had no idea who Charlie Kirk was before he got assassinated. The worst thing they could have done was actually kill the guy, because now his name's bigger now than it ever was. But the point is, it's not so much, we don't talk about him getting killed. Now we talk about, well, should he have gotten killed? Or should they have said that he deserved to get killed? And do we need to cancel these people because they said that? And, you know, whether you should or shouldn't, it didn't become so much about the guy getting killed. It was all about, well, what did you think about him getting killed? It would no longer have anything to do with the event. It was about, well, which side are you on? Because we're so divided in the country we live in. You know, just over a week ago, they tried to kill our president for like the third time. I don't care if you like him or not. That's kind of crazy to me. Like that you're trying to kill the president of the United States. And what are we, not even a week later? And for the most part, it has nothing to do with the fact that they tried to kill him again. It's just, well, what side do you fall on all of that? Do you think he should have gotten killed or not? You know, there's all these people, well, I wish he'd have had a better shot, or this side or the other. And I'm like, why would you say that about any human being? And it's just crazy to think about, like, that's the world we live in. And so my title today, and I really do think we'll get through this, I'm going to move very quickly, but it's action or the reaction. Right? It's just action or the reaction. Verses 8 to 18, there's another example of what we're talking about. Right? Something happens, and instead of talking about what happened, it's all about, well, what did you think about what happened, and this, that, or the other. And so, let's just get into this. Paul and Barney, they go to this town, they preach the gospel, and here's what happens. In verse 8, it says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. So, the dude can't walk. He's lame in his feet. Okay. The same heard Paul speak. So he hears Paul preaching, and that's all that it says about this guy, that he heard Paul speak. That's all it says about him. Who steadfastly beholding him, I'm sorry, who steadfastly, now when it says who steadfastly, it's talking about Paul. Paul was steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed. Paul saw something in this guy, the way that he was acting, the way that he was intently listening, like, I believe that this guy, he could be healed. And here's what Paul does in verse 10. He says with a loud voice, stand upright on my feet, and he leaps and walks. That's absolutely insane. Like, the guy just gets healed. It's a lot like the guy at the beautiful gate with Peter early in the book of Acts, okay? And then he goes, we're talking about healing and all that. And the point is, this happened. That's insane that this just happened. And yet, everything that happens after this, it really has nothing to do with what happened. It's all about what we think about it. Okay, and here's what it does. Verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices in the speech of Lycaonia. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and went up and sacrificed with the people. They're wanting to worship these guys because Paul said, stand up and walk. They're wanting to worship Paul like he's some sort of a god because he simply did what he was told to do. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying out and said, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you. He's like, we're just dudes too. Like, we're just guys. And preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are in it, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and then he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seed, and giving our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things, scarce restrained the people that they had not done sacrifices. So basically what Paul does is he's like, I don't know why you're trying to worship me, I'm just a dude. I just did what God told me to do. And what did he do? He turned the conversation back to Jesus. He points it back to him. He says, okay, obviously you guys are all about worshiping, you know, astrology and, you know, where things come from. And it's just like, the God that I serve, the God that healed this man, he's the same guy that what they do. He's the guy that brings rain, right? He's the guy that does the basic things. You know, he brings it back to something that they can understand. That's what you have to do with people. Give them the gospel and build it so they can understand it. So anyway, that's just kind of the whole story. We read that and we're like, okay, that's interesting. But as I read it, I'm like, what does that have to do with us? And it just reminds me of the culture we live in. It reminds me of how things are in the culture. So here's what I've got. I've got three questions you can ask yourself, right? And I'm going to move quickly. I really don't have a lot of content because there's not a lot to this story. But I want to find some way that, like, we can take it and apply it to us, right? Three questions you can ask yourself that will reveal if you're adding to the division in today's world. Because I don't think anybody on either side of any argument would tell you we're not divided. Everybody knows that we're divided in everything. But nobody has a solution to it. Everybody's solution to it is, well, if you would just believe the way that I believe, everything would be fine. That's the root of division, right? Not wanting to see anything from anybody else's point of view and saying, well, you either believe like I do or you're wrong. That's really a lame argument. But anyway, you know, I just have three questions you can ask yourself to make sure that we in the church, because God forbid we would be, part of the division. And I hate to tell you, but I think we are, right? And I think we are. But anyway, in verses 8 to 10, the first question you can ask yourself is, do I fully believe that God can do anything? Do I fully believe that God can do anything? In verses 8 to 10, it says there was a man at Lystra. He was lame. He was crippled. He had never walked. Paul, he hears Paul speak, and Paul looks at him. He believes that he's got the faith to be healed, and Paul says, you know what? Stand up on my feet, and he leaps and walks. That's all he says. That's all that happened. That's the event. Do I fully believe that God can do anything? The simple act in the story is that Paul healed this guy. Paul said it and it happened, right? Pretty basic. Now, I understand healing doesn't happen today. Yes, if you want teaching on this, go back to the beginning of the book, Acts, and we talked about Peter healing the guy at the beautiful gate. We took an extensive amount of time walking through why this was a sign gift. The book of Acts has a lot of sign gifts that aren't given today. It was given for a short period of time, right? For the gospel to have maximum impact in the time and the culture. Go back and let's know. I don't want to reteach all of that. It's already there. It's like when Peter healed the guy at the beautiful gate. It's like when the guys were speaking in tongues, right? It was a sign gift. It was a temporary thing. They were all fine here. The thing about this, though, is this healing was it took belief by both guys for it to come to fruition. It says that the guy was so intent that he believed by faith that it could happen. And Paul, he could say all the words he wanted to say, but he didn't believe that, hey, if I tell this guy to stand up and walk, is it really going to hold any weight? It took faith by both of them, you know, for something to happen. We have to believe it first. It's faith. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, we don't have time to go there, but it talks about how, you know, Jesus tells the apostles, hey, you want the mountain to move? All you got to do is tell it to move. If you believe it's going to happen, it'll happen. So here's what I'm telling you. We got a church full of people that are like, I think I believe that. Mountain, if you want to, would you move? And it's like, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. We're a church full of people that are like half full of faith in everything that we do. We believe that it's going to happen, but we don't fully believe it. We believe God can do a lot of things, but we just aren't completely sure if this is one of those things. Right? And it's a faith by both of these guys. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31, you know, Peter, Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter's like, Lord, can I come out there too? And he's like, come on. And it says that Peter walked on the water, but, you know, he took his eyes off Jesus and starts to think. Why? Because he lost his faith. It's the same thing. We have to believe it first. Like, do you really believe, do I fully believe that God can do anything? The question is, do we fully believe? I mean, I, most of us would say, I'm sorry, I personally would say most of us would have to say no. We don't fully believe that God can do anything. Even Peter didn't fully believe. There's a lot of things that I tell myself, well, I fully believe, but my actions were completely up. Right? Do I really fully believe? Here's the biggest problem with this. It's not that some of us believe and some of us don't. It's not that some of us have more faith than some of us. Here's the real problem that lies when we get to like the culture war that's going on. If we don't fully believe that there's nothing that God can do, right? Or there's nothing that God can't do, then do we really believe that there's anything that God can do? If you don't fully believe that there is nothing that the Lord can do, then that really opens the door to you think that God can do anything. It's kind of like the Bible. Well, I really believe it for salvation. I really believe it for the things that I like. But those other things, I'm like, I'm not sure I completely agree with that. Either the whole book is inspired and true, or it's all garbage. One or the other. I mean, that's the real truth of the matter. It's either all God's Word, inspired, written through man, obviously, because that's what the world was, written by a bunch of guys. You're right, inspired by God, as they were writing. Yeah, it was written by men. I'll totally agree with you that they were inspired by the Lord. Or none of it's true. It's one or the other. If you don't believe that there's nothing, when you're saying the gospel, and you're like, I don't really think this guy's going to get saved. Then why would you expect him to get saved? If you don't believe that there's actually power in the gospel, then why would you care? You know, we put money in the bank. Why? Because I believe when I need it, I can go and withdraw. I mean, I know that the banks all say we're insured by the whatever, whatever. Basically, we're insured by the government. I don't really have any faith in the government. But I do, I at least have a little bit of faith in the bank. Why? Because here's why. I've given my money to the bank, and every time that I've needed to go get it, they've been able to give it back. There's yet to be a time that I went to the bank and been like, hey, I need some of my money. Which, by the way, that's never really that much. But, you know, I need some of my money. And they were like, can you come back tomorrow? We don't have it. Or, you know, this never happens. So the more times that I put money in the bank, and it's there when I go back, the more faith I have in the fact that, like, this must actually work, right? I'm willing to put a little more money in the bank because every time I've put less in, it's been there. So I'm willing to put some more in. Well, it's the same is true with our faith. The same is true with what we believe. We're putting our faith in the fact that what we have seen has worked with the bank. The same is like that for Christ. I've seen it work. I've shared the gospel. I've seen people accept it. I've seen their lives radically change, and I've seen them walk in faith, in obviously it wasn't their power, because I knew these people before they got saved, and they didn't have none of that power. I've seen it work. And so, like, the more that I've seen it work, the more I'm like, okay, I've got faith that this is going to work again. God hasn't failed me yet. It's the same thing. You have to go on what you know. There's some things that you're like, I'm not sure that, I don't know if God can do that because I've never seen it. Well, here's what I do know. Everything that I've asked him to do so far, he has done. So why would I not believe that he can do that? Why would I not believe that he can do that? I've seen enough quote-unquote things to tell me that he can do whatever this is. So just have faith in that. If you don't fully believe, then you're part of the division that's out there. It's the truth. If you don't fully believe, then you're part of the division. If you don't fully believe, then it's all relative. All truth is relative. Let me just tell you, if all truth is relative, then there's no truth at all. Right? Because if you're just like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, that's your truth, but my truth is different. Okay, well, what if my truth tells me that your truth is a lie? Is your truth still true? Right?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So it's like, no. There's no truth. All truth cannot be relative. There has to be a standard at some point. Now, agreeing to what that standard is, that's where the world gets off. I'm just going to convince you that it's the Word of God. I'll stick with that. It's not a political party. It's not a government. It's not a person. It's not whatever. It's the Word of God. All truth cannot be relative because it's true right here. And so if your truth is telling you, well, it's okay over here, no, it's not. It's telling me right here that it's not. It hasn't changed. And those who want to tell you, well, the Bible's changed over time, no, it hasn't. It's been refined, right? The King James Bible has been refined, but it was never changed, right? They made it easier to understand in English, but it was never changed from what it said originally. Okay, and so if you don't believe me, go back and listen to all the audio from when Jim Walter was here, right? I'm just trying to, like, the guy was spot on, I don't need to reason. Anyway, do you fully believe that God can do it? The second question I got, am I allowing any man to stand in the place of God? Unfortunately, we would all be lying if we did this. Am I allowing any man to stand in the place of God? Verses 11 to 13, this is what they do. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and sang the speech of Lycaonia. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, and Mercurius, because he was... Then the priest of Jupiter, like they got a priest for this religion that they're following, which is before the city, he brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifices. He's ready to come and like have a blood sacrifice right here because the gods are with us. That's what they believe. The people try to put Paul and Barnabas as gods that they had worshipped. And it tells us something about the culture of this city, by the way. It tells us something about what is going on. In this case, astrology. They were all about astrology, right? The planets and the stars. And when God does show up, you know what they did? They tried to fit God into their weird beliefs. Like, if that doesn't fit American, quote-unquote, Christianity, I don't know what it is. When God actually does show up in someone's life, we're just like, oh, well, that must have something to do with my blah, blah, blah. Right? And they just fit it into whatever they believe. Instead of being like, well, what I believe has really nothing to do with what just happened. Instead, they try to mold the two together. They try to mold religion, whatever that is, with the God of Jesus, right? With Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mold like that, right? It doesn't mold like that. Paul's not Jupiter, just like Paul isn't God. So when people start to worship other men, things go crazy. They just do. Like, when people start to worship other men, things go crazy. Think about just some of the things that have happened in America over the last 100 years. And it's all because somebody's following one guy or one belief or one thing. I mean, you may say, well, we don't do that today, right? You might not call anybody Jupiter, but I'm telling you, we do set people above the Lord. We all do at times, right? But we put our politicians up there, I'll follow this guy anywhere. I wouldn't follow any politician anywhere, I'm just telling you. I don't believe a lick of what any of them say. You might have a few decent things to say, but I'm telling you, you got as many bad things as you do good. Right? The problem is with the church, we can't weed it out. Right? We're so blinded. We're just blinded. Our pastors, right? We think our pastors are God. I'm just telling you, like, you're wrong. We, and I say we, most of us, we follow. And that's all we can do. Right? But we cannot put our bosses up on these pedestals, right? We put our spouses up on these pedestals, and then they start to take the place of the Lord. We put our kids, oh man, we'll worship our kids all the day long, right? And if you're like, well, I don't do any of those things, let me just tell you that you worship yourself. You've done it today, right? We're all putting some man in front of the Lord. you can't allow any man to stand in the place of God. The first sin that ever happened was before the world was even created. Lucifer, he didn't even have to say it. He's just like, you know, he's thinking, I can do these things. Like, I can be my own God. He's putting himself in the place of the Lord. You cannot do that. If we're allowing anyone to stand in the place of God, including ourselves, then we're adding to the division. There can only be one standard, and that is God, and not what people think, right? You may like the president. Let me tell you, he's not God. You might like a certain politician. I mean, he's not God. The more I listen to some of the things that Charlie Kirk said, I like that guy. He's not God. Right? You might like whoever this activist is and the things that they say, or, you know, whatever you hear him say in, you know, a 30-second reel, because you can find anything you like him, right? But they're not God. You might like your pastor. He's not God. You might like your spouse. They're not God. Right? You can't allow anyone to stand in that place other than the Lord. And if you do, you're part of the problem. There can only be one standard for truth, and it's Jesus. Right? There's only one thing. You cannot replace the Lord with anything. It's idolatry. We can't do it. And the last question you got to ask yourself, I told you I was going to be done. I'm going to be done.
There you go.
Do I try to convince people of my beliefs or the Word of God? Do I try to convince people of my beliefs or the Word of God? In verses 14 to 18, I'm not going to read it, but basically Paul's like, hold the phone. I'm just a dude. I just came to tell you about the dude. His name's Jesus. We got to get this straight out. He just called it up, okay? And then I'm like, oh, wow, I'm glad we figured this thing out. Okay, we'll be back. I'm glad we figured that. And then next week we'll figure it out. I mean, the crazy thing is, after all this happens, like two verses later, they stone Paul to death. Right? Not these people, but everybody who's jealous of this miracle that he just did, they're like, we got to kill him. And they did. They stoned him to death. Not just they were going to stone him, they stoned him to death. And then he resurrects us. I don't know how it happened. God, obviously. But anyway. So, he calls them out, sets things straight. And that's kind of the end of the story. But here's what I really, because this is where, as a church, I think we really fall into sin. We're trying to convince people of my beliefs instead of the Word of God. And I know what you're thinking. Like, my beliefs are the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I believe what the Word of God says. And I don't think there's really a nice way for me to tell you this. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, I don't. If your beliefs were the Word of God, then your life would be different. My life would be different. Well, we do a lot of good things. We clean up in a lot of good ways. I'm just like, I could go around the room. I could go around the pastor's class. I could go around the church. I'm talking about people that are faithful. And I can tell you things about your life that I see from the outside that, like, your life would look different if you really believe what you were doing. Right? And I'm just telling you. I can look at my life, but I don't have to look very hard. And I can tell you that if I believed it, I'd look a little different. And I do sometimes, but, like, if I believed it, it would look different. If your beliefs were the Word of God, your words would be different. If your beliefs were the Word of God, your marriage would probably look different. If your beliefs were the Word of God, your parenting would look different. Right? Your thoughts would be different. Here's the point. If your beliefs were the Word of God, you'd be different. No, we're not. And that's okay. He called us to be like Him, not to be Him. If you were Jesus, there would be no longer a purpose for you to be there, right? Sanctification is a lifelong process. Yes, we should be more like Him every day. But I sure haven't achieved this sin of perfection. Not even for a minute. So stop confusing yourself with some holier-than-thou, oh, well, my beliefs are the Word of God. I'm just telling you, are you trying to convince the world of your beliefs or what the Word of God? Paul points the people back to the true God, and we would do well to do the same. We as the church, we got to stop using the Word of God as a weapon to conform people to our beliefs. Now, I understand the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. I get all of that. Yes. I'm just telling you, we're using this book as a weapon to conform people to our beliefs, not to conform people to the book. We're taking the things that we like out of it, and we're saying, you got to believe this, right? It says it right here, and we're just wielding this thing like a sword. But it's only about the things that we really want to buy into, and nothing else, right? Instead, we must make our beliefs submit to the Word. Not our will, but His, right? Are you willing to leave your political party to submit to the Word?
I would hope so.
Are you willing to leave your quote-unquote religion to submit to the Word? If what you're following ends up not being according to what the Word is, are you willing? Are you willing to leave your social stance to submit to the Word? Your take on the public school to submit to the Word, right? Are you willing to leave your take on parenting? Well, I think we do it the right way. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm just saying, if you find out that the Word of God is saying, maybe that's not exactly what I said, are you willing to be like, you know what I'm doing is wrong. I'm going to stick with the Word. Sorry I got off, Lord. Instead, we just fill the grain on what we are doing. And this is the way that we are going to do it. And it's like, okay, I'm just telling you, you do you. I don't think it's that godly. And what you're doing is basically you're trying to conform people to be like you. And I don't really see a whole lot of them being like what the Word of God says anywhere with it. Here's what it really boils down to. Am I willing to throw away my beliefs? Am I willing to throw my beliefs out the window and submit to you? Right. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Am I willing to take my religious-esque beliefs and just throw them out the window and say, I'll just submit to Him? That word submit holds some weight. I'll be completely honest with you. We got a lot of people from the church out pushing our beliefs on things in the name of Jesus, and Jesus ain't anywhere in it. He just isn't. There's religion in it. There's legalism in it. There's some sort of feigned humility in it. Well, I'm really suffering. For what? I mean, Jesus. Right? We're really putting our kids through it. We're really putting our family through it. We're really... For what? I'm just telling you, it sure don't look like Jesus. Right? There's a lot of, quote, holiness in it. Well, we're doing things different. You're right. You are doing things different. And that you said well. That's what Jesus told us. Right, the rest of what you said, I know, sir. And that you said well. You're doing things different. I don't see much Jesus in it, is what I'm saying. It's got to be Jesus. He's the only one. And John 14 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, like, if you do these things, if you follow the people, right? If you do these things, right? If you say the right thing, if you follow the right activist type stuff, who cares? Like if you find something you believe in, hold to it. But make sure it lines up with the Word of God, because if it don't, you've got to get rid of it. As a church, I think we're adding more to the problem than we are really resolving it. And it's because we all think we're holy. And none of us really realize that, like, I'm still imperfect. I'm not Jesus. The only thing is I have the truth in my hand. What am I going to do with it? Right? Point people back to Him. Leave the rest of your junk at the table. That's what I said. Point people back. That's all Paul did. He pointed them back to Him, and he says, just leave the rest of it. All right. Let's pray, and we'll get out of here. I hope that makes sense to those who are listening online. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you today. Thank you for being good to us. And love you. Thank you for, you know, just things like this. The world we live in is messed up. And I pray that we're not adding to it. Lord, there's only one truth, and that's You. And there's only one place to find You, and it's in the Word of God. And I pray that we are so filled up with the Word of God that people can find You in us. But Lord, I don't want to try to take that place. I'm not Jesus. I'm not even going to attempt to be Him. I pray that we would just lay down our thoughts on, you know, what is good and what is good for You. And just live that. So, Lord, I do pray for our families. There's a lot of people that think they're doing the right thing, but God, I pray that You're in it. If not, man, it's good. Lord, see if Pastor Brian, we jumped into the book of Mark today and tried it, and I pray that You give glory to all of us.